Thank you so much. Now time to study the Word of God. And I'm going to be speaking about walking with God, walking intimately with God from Hebrews chapter 11. But first of all, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the good time of sharing. Thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies and different things that have been shared. And Lord, now we just ask, Lord, as we gather around your words, that you will speak to us, that you'll give us revelation that can help our lives to walk closer to you. Amen. Lord, that you will put words into our hearts, revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of revelation. Yes. Lord, open the word to us. Lord, let us see Jesus in his glory. Let us walk with you, Lord God. Let us have this faith that Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of. Let it be implanted into our hearts in a fresh way for us to arise and walk with you. So we just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Starting from verse 1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." You know, faith is really a voluntary trust. It is confidence. And that confidence is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And being certain of God is really based upon many of his promises and applying it to our own lives. And these are promises that God has for us. And we put our faith and trust in God's work. One thing about God's promises being fulfilled in our lives, it takes faith and patience. Patience is also a very important aspect of faith. Without patience, really it shows that you don't have true faith. And it's one of those tests. And all people who are called by God and God gives you a major promise for your life is to see that fulfillment. You've got to have this confidence, this trust in God that it's going to be fulfilled. And God is going to complete the work that he has started for you, the great work that God is doing in your life. And verse 2, it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. These were the people who chose to trust God. They chose to put their confidence in God. And that's the difference between the people of God and the people of the world. Amen. They don't have this confidence, this trust in God. But this whole chapter is about to build us up and strengthen our faith and strengthen our walk with God. Amen. Then we move to verse 3. It says that by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Many scientists, they really don't know how the universe got here. But we understand by faith that God created everything out of nothing just by speaking. And that is God's awesome power. And when we put our faith in God and look at how this universe was created by him, we're acknowledging that power. We're acknowledging the greatness of God. So here it says, by faith, we understand. You know, we understand the revelation of God because we put our trust in him. We put our confidence in him. And when we put our confidence and trust in him, he gives us revelation. He reveals himself to us so that we become the friends of God. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Right at the beginning, we see the whole principle of sacrifice. And I presume Adam and Eve, they had to be clothed with an animal's skin once they were naked. And that was God's sacrifice. And it seems that they taught their children about God. And their children then offered God sacrifice. But Abel, he He found favor with God because he did it with a right heart. He did it with faith. Whenever you bring your sacrifice, and that can speak of your offering and your offering your finance, but offering of your whole life, your time for the service of God, make sure you're doing it with faith. Make sure you're serving God like Abel, not serving God like Cain. Cain was serving God with wrong motives. He was serving God with a sinful heart, and he was rejected by God. And when he was rejected, God spoke to him and gave him a second chance, gave him an opportunity. But Cain was not willing to repent. And of course, that anger and that hatred, jealousy grew in his heart towards his brother, and he killed his brother. Here we see right from the beginning the persecution of the righteous by the wicked. And that has continued throughout history. The devil started it, and the devil is doing it through persecuting the church in various ways. And of course, we know that that persecution is in fact persecuting Christ himself. But by faith, Abel speaks, even though he's dead. And that's what we want to be. We want to leave a legacy for Christ, so that when we are in heaven, our life is still speaking a witness for Christ and bringing forth souls and bringing forth fruit for God. So we are serving God with this kind of faith. Verse 5 and 6, it says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Verse 6 is so beautiful. There's so many treasures there. But it's applied to the life of this man called Enoch. Enoch, a man that in the book of Genesis we don't really know much about, except for the fact that he walked with God. He pleased God so much that God gave him a special reward. Amen. Now it says God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch's reward was being taken without death. Who knows what great rewards Jesus has for us? His rewards are amazing. They're eternal, and they are so great and wonderful. The rewards of seeking God are so amazing, the treasures of heaven. By faith, we are storing our treasures in heaven. And I always like to encourage every Christian to have a belief for a good reward. Jesus is offering us crowns, treasures of heaven. Believe, yes, Jesus, I receive it. I'm going to seek you earnestly. We have to have that heart's desire. I'm going to be close to God. I'm going to be the friend of God. I'm going to know God. I'm going to walk with God. And that's what Enoch did in a time of early history, but a time when people had already been going astray. Multitudes had gone astray, but Enoch stood out as the man who was walking with God. Let's all of us stand out as people who are walking with God. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Amen. One of the things I love about Noah that brings out here is that he saved his family. Yes. That's a good challenge to every Christian mother and father. Make sure you have the faith of Noah to save your family. Amen. What a tragedy if you're so busy with the ministry that you've neglected your children for some reason, or something's been missing that your children are lost. We have to, if you're in that situation, if your children are backslidden, you have to seek God, pray more earnestly. You need to lay hold of this scripture. I want the faith of Noah to save my family. And he built an ark. And the ark speaks of coming into Christ. To me, it speaks of the presence of God in your family. I was blessed to be brought up in a family where the presence of God was there. It's more than just speaking, got to do this, you've got to come to church, you've got to do this and do that. Because it's the atmosphere behind it makes all the difference. Because if you speak to your children, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and there's not the atmosphere of God, they can easily rebel against it. But when your house is like the ark, and you're in Christ, and Christ's presence is there, when you're speaking with this kind of love and things that can grip and to bring children. I know it's a big spiritual battle because it's a tragedy when Christian children are lost, and we live in a day where the influence of the world is so strong in the schools and all kinds of things. They're being bombarded with temptation and they're being pulled by the world through the media, through TV. Make sure your house is like that ark. Build your ark. So we need the faith to do that. So we want all children born in Christian families to be saved. Verses 8 to 10 says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. To me, this is a great encouragement for those who are called to have the faith of God to be missionaries. He went, trusting God to go ahead of him, and it was because he had his faith looking for the city of God. The city of God is something far greater than the promised land of Israel, even though God promised him that specific land. But it was a far greater calling that God had for Abraham to be a blessing, to bring forth, in one sense, even the coming of Christ, to save the nations. And he didn't realize the full impact of what God was doing through his life when he left his home. He took a step out, but he was walking with God when he did it. We don't know what God can be accomplishing in our lives when we take that same kind of step, walking with God when you don't know where you're going. From verse 11, it says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Here we have the promise of God in his life. And so from this one man, and he was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. You know, God wanted to do something in his life that was physically impossible, and God delayed it so that it would be seen that it is only from God, that it is not by Abraham's strength or his wisdom or his having a nice wife. It was physically impossible, but God did it. He did the miracle. And if God's given you a great promise for your life, God often brings you to that position where it's impossible for you to fulfill it. It takes God. It takes a miracle from God. And that's why we have to look to him. That's why we have to have faith and patience in him. We have to seek him. We have to believe for greater revival and greater move of God to come forth through New Zealand. We have to believe for God to arise. We need to have faith that God's going to give me spiritual descendants, a great multitude of spiritual sons and daughters. That's what I'm believing for as an evangelist. I want this faith of Abraham. God, give me my descendants, my spiritual descendants. Verse 13 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Praise God. God is preparing a place for us. It's like what Jesus said to his disciples. That was one of his promises. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back and take you to be where I am. God wants us to be with him. He wants us to see his face. He wants us to see his glory. And that's why he's got to prepare us through faith for that day when we actually behold the full glory of God and look upon him face to face. How wonderful it's going to be. So again, it's like, even though God promised this physical land, they also saw something greater in that promise, an actual heavenly city. They didn't receive everything they had promised in their own lifetime. It's like they were part of the faith journey that's going through all the generations, right from the beginning of Genesis, right until the end of time. And we are a part of this building together, the city of God. It's like we are the stones, and we are being built in this same journey of all those who have true faith in God throughout the ages. We are united with these that have gone before us, and we are a part of preparing the way for however much God is going to do in the future, which I believe is great things. So we are a part of God's mighty work. From verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Abraham, when he was tested and God spoke to him, you've got to sacrifice your son, he looked ahead to this future. Wow, God's going to do all these great promises through my son. That must mean he's going to raise him from the dead. I don't think anyone had been raised from the dead before then. So nobody had heard of this kind of miracle before. But he trusted God. He believed in God's power. If I kill my son, God's going to raise him from the dead. Thankfully, he didn't have to go that far, but he proved that his heart was right. He believed in the resurrection power of God. All of us have to believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, because those who have died, they are going to be raised, and we are all going to be raised to meet Christ and to be in that heavenly city. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Oh, the power of a blessing over a person's life. When we say, God bless you, does it have the same kind of power that Isaac blessed his children with? Let's believe when we speak words of blessing over people, it can truly bring forth the blessings of God. Very similar in verse 21. It says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Again, we see the faith of speaking a blessing over a person's life. Just remember that when we speak over people's lives, the power and the impact it can have. God bless this person. Go ahead of them. It's a part of God's mighty work. The priests were called to speak God's blessing over the people of Israel because God wanted the whole nation to be blessed. So we have to speak, God bless you. The blessing of God be upon you. The presence of God be upon you. Be with you. Jesus be with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 22 says, by faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Joseph, he knew the promises that God had given through his family, and those promises were to have that promised land. And he knew that God would fulfill it, not in his generation, but the time would come So he said to his, he wanted it, when that time comes, make sure my bones don't stay here. You know, it was a sign of faith. It was an act of faith. God is going to fulfill his promise. It's going to happen. So he saw it being fulfilled, even though he died before it was fulfilled. So he was looking ahead to faith. It's going to be fulfilled. Now we then come to the great, wonderful story of Moses. Verse 23, it says, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses would have got nowhere if he had not had parents who had great faith.
Amen.
And his parents are listed in this hall of fame of faith because they were willing to hide him. The world was saying, let your child be destroyed. And there are many ways that the world is still saying that today. But his parents had the faith, no, we're not going to let this child die. This child is going to be a child of God. It's going to have the call of God on his life. I want all Christian parents to believe that for their children, even though most of you are all older here tonight. But we've got to believe God's blessings got to come through future generations. From verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his rewards. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Okay, he had to have perseverance. But he saw the invisible God. He had faith. The interesting thing about this great story of Moses had the most wonderful gift of performing miracles. But in this passage of faith, we don't have it talking about his miracles were his great acts of faith. No, his great act of faith was leaving Egypt. Now, when Moses left Egypt, it looked like a disaster. He had fallen into sin. He had fought in the flesh. He had tried to fulfill his calling by his own strength. He had had a fight, and it ended up in the death of a person. And then he fled because of that. And at that point of time, from a human point of view, that looks like the lowest point of his life. In the book of Hebrews, it says, and it includes it, that this is one of his great acts of faith, that he left Egypt. So it's very interesting how God sees things. Maybe you can see a point in your life where it was the biggest disaster in your life, but God sees it, that is the time when you had faith in him. And that small act of faith was more important to God than all the big miracles. So let's think how God sees things as can be totally different to how human point of view. Verse 29, it says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Here we see two different kinds of people. Both tried to cross through the water. One was saved, the other was destroyed. And I was thinking when it comes to going to heaven, there's going to be many people knocking on the door. They won't be let in.
Amen.
It's by faith that we enter through. Verse 30, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Again, that is a people trusting in God. God had given the promise that the walls are going to fall. So it wasn't presumption. It was the word of God they were standing upon.
Amen.
So our confidence is in God's promises. And they did what God called them to do. And at the right time, the promise was fulfilled. Verse 31, it says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Here we see the grace and mercy of God. That even though a person has lived a sinful life, if they will turn to God, put their faith in Him, believe Him, and side with Him, and do His work, then they can also become famous for faith in God. So we know that some of the great heroes of preaching the gospel were actually terrible sinners before they got saved, like Rahab, who was a prostitute. But she turns and she joins with the people of God. She ultimately married a man of God, and she, of course, escaped from the pagan strongholds of Jericho, and she became a woman that is in the ancestry line of Christ.
Amen.
So she is blessed because of her faith. And that's the promise that we hold out for those who have failed in their past. It's not too late if you turn to God. You put your faith in Him. God can do great things through you. The God of the second chance. But you've got to do it. You've got to turn. You've got to trust Him. You've got to not turn down your opportunities. If she had wanted to stay in Jericho, she would have been destroyed. But she also left Jericho and continued into the promised land. From verse 32, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Here we see two totally different groups of people. We see one group that is conquering kingdoms, bringing justice to the world, and looking like they are bringing great victories, powerful in battle and conquering. They had faith in God. But then we see this other group of people, those who are small and downtrodden and persecuted, and they are also great faith in God. They share in the sufferings of Christ. So there is like different callings. There is like different ministries that God has for people. But if you do it with faith in God and your trust is in Him, you can be in the heroes of faith. Verse 39, it says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God sees the beginning from the end, and He's working out this most wonderful plan. And it's all true believers are going to enter into that heavenly city. Just in closing, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I think this whole message is just to fill you with encouragement to follow God. It's to fill you with the joy of serving the Lord and strengthen you in your walk with God. And we have this great cloud of witnesses, those who have fulfilled the call of God for their lives. They have done it, and now we must do it. It's our turn now to be the people who walk with God. So throw off the rubbish. Throw off the sin that comes. Get rid of it and run the race. Run the race of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Persevere for the race that God has for you. It's the high calling to win the prize. We are pressing towards heaven to win this great prize. And the key to all of this is let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you encourage us to follow you. We put our faith in you. We trust you, Lord. We believe you. We are confident in you, Lord. Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. And Lord, you are building this people that belong to God, that are called out of the world. Through all generations, whoever's had true faith in you is a part of that calling. And we are one family. We are joined with them, and it's like they are also waiting for us to finish our race and complete the work. Thank you, Lord, for those that have and have recently gone to heaven. But Lord, we are still on this earth. We are still running. We are still fighting the good fight. We are still serving Jesus. And Lord, I know you want us to be encouraged to hit the mark of the high call of God. Thank you that it is a wonderful calling. Lord, encourage us afresh in the high call of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.